Thank you, thank you.
How about a big round for our guest pianist this morning? I get to embarrass her once in a while. Some of you are like, where's your wife? Some of you are like, well, where's our pianist? Some of you are like, I don't know, where's Sharon? She's not here. You got your heart medication on? I'm so excited! I'm so excited. This morning, my 3.5-year-old grandson got to announce to the congregation where his daddy's a pastor that his mommy has a baby in her tummy. Or that he's going to have a little brother or sister or a pony or something. It's hard to tell what a 3.5-year-old is going to come up with. But if you're wondering, what's all this got to do with why Sharon's not here? My daughter-in-law has a very, very, very difficult time in pregnancy. She miscarried in April, and 2 weeks ago she was in the hospital. They thought she was miscarrying again. So the doctors have confined her to bed. With Reed, she was in bed for, 15 weeks, and then started feeling a little better. So Grandma is up giving Daddy a little relief. We had Thanksgiving dinner with them, and I came home Friday morning. You know, I love Friday mornings when y'all are out there shopping and stuff. There was no traffic on the freeway. I made record time getting home. And I did not speed. There were too many cops out there. I tell you, I saw more highway patrol between the kids' house and here in a 3.5-hour drive than you would see normally in a month out there. And they were writing lots of tickets. I tell you what, I had a guy cut me off. In fact, I'm not sure there's not a slight smidgen of his blue paint on my car. And he was doing this, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to let him go. I could have ran him over in my truck, but I'm going to let him go, and he'll be my radar detector. And you know what? About 5 miles down the road, here was that pretty little blue car on the side of the road with one of those little black and white cars with a little light, and the officer was like this, and Sharon goes, that's the car. And I did not pray for that for him. I've had my coffee this morning. Can you tell? Good. Those who don't know me, I drink way too much coffee. And for those of you that don't know me, I have a hard time reading hieroglyphics. Dear members of Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, James and I want to take the Thanksgiving holiday to thank you for your generous support and prayers. The Lord's still putting unusual people in our path to witness to and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow! Here's a retired missionary! They're retired and God is still putting people in their path that they can share to. I wonder why. I talked with a Muslim man who had 14 brothers and sisters. One of his brothers name was Ishmael, and another brother's name Abraham. I shared with him how that back in the days when Jesus was born, scientists didn't know that the mother's blood doesn't mix with the baby's blood. The Holy Bible, written early on, described Jesus as born of a virgin and described an encounter by the Holy Spirit of the Heavenly Father as a conceiving being. This and the prophecies completed in his life make Jesus the Son of God. We thank our Lord for including us in his work and he asked many to look and see that the harvest is white and he needs more workers. We have never been bored serving our Lord. Thanks again, James and Sandy Spellman. BCP retired missionaries. They're bottom left-hand side on our missionary board. It's interesting that even when you're retired, God puts people in your path that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, and we're gonna kind of do something a little different this morning. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Some of you, as we've gone through the daily Bible reading, said, "Pastor, I get hung up on this one." Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, says, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And then you go all the way down through and you get all the begats and begots and got this one and got that one. And most of you don't like to read through the genealogies, but it's very important, especially when you get over to verse 16, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. It's important. How many of you have ever done a genealogy study of your family? How many of you have a famous family member? One person back there does. How would you like to have a claim to fame of being in the line of David? How about being in the line of Noah? How about in the line of Abraham? How about in the line of Adam? You have, when I said, "How many of you have a claim to fame? You have a famous person in your background." All of us do. All of us, if you had a way of tracing yourself back to the beginning, are related to Adam. Thus you're related to Noah. Thus you're related to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the way down through the line. We are a special chosen people. Chosen by God. I can't do the genealogy thing like this, but this one is really good. Now, go to Mark chapter 1. But Mark chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching baptism of repentance for the remission of sin." If you looked at your bulletin, next week we're going to have water in the baptistry. We're going to have a baptismal service. If you need to be baptized, I'd love to do that next week. You need to see me today. But Mark says he's the beginning of the gospel of, right? Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 1, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which has been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seems good to me also, having a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, knowing that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." And then as we go on through, we see a different viewpoint, a different narrative on the birth of our Savior. Now, go to John chapter 1. And most of you are going to go, well, we've already studied this. We're going to do it again. We're going to look at it from a little different... It's warm up here. If you're taking notes, we're going to look at six basic truths. We're going to look at a lot of stuff, but there are six basic truths in the first 18 verses here. In the beginning was the Word. In the Greek, God was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. If you would go to the mall today, actually, if you would go into most Sunday schools or children's churches where there are little kids, and ask them who Jesus is, what do you think the answer is? He's the baby that was born in the manger. Most people think when they hear the word Jesus that we're talking about a little baby that was born in a cave, lived for 33 and a half years, and died on the cross. If they even know that. This time of the year, they're going to tell you he's a little baby. But as we know, he was in the beginning. He's eternal. He chose to leave heaven. I cannot possibly imagine, because I don't think that big, how God the Son could leave heaven. He came down here because the Father, that was all planned before eternity passed. In eternity past, this was planned out, that He would come to be the Savior of the world. And it says, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So He didn't get His beginning in a manger. He always has been. It's a hard thing to understand. But God did not have a beginning. He always... Can you hear me now? You heard me before, right? The only thing that can't hear me is the tape. So when I walk away from the microphone, anybody that listens on sermon audio gets part of it and doesn't get part of it. But everything was made by God. The great big tree. Most of you that know me know I don't do the ocean. I don't do sand and all that stuff. But the waves were so beautiful coming down the coast the other day. I mean, I went to a spot and I saw all these guys out there freezing cold surfing, and I'm like, there's almost never enough surf. But for some reason there was Friday morning. And I got to thinking, that's from God. All that power. All that stuff. You ever seen the great big giant trees where you can... The massively huge redwoods and stuff? It's God. Not millions and billions of years old. It's God. And everything was made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, verse 4, and the life was the light of men. We looked at Sunday school, and as we talked in Sunday school, of course, you notice there's not a star over this manger, because the star was not at the manger. Somehow, in Christian culture, when we've built the manger scene, we've added the wise men and the star. It wasn't there, and neither were the wise men. But the light was there. in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. This was Christ coming incarnate. The incarnate Christ means he came in bodily form. Okay, that's what that means. And the darkness did not comprehend. Today they still do not want to believe that Jesus Christ came. Talk to an Orthodox Jew today, and they'll tell you they're still waiting for the Messiah to come. You do realize between the end of the Old Testament and the New Testament, there were 400 years of silence, and everybody said, "When is he coming?" They waited 400 years. We're waiting for him to return. I'm looking forward to that. We don't know when it is, but we do know that he's coming back. The Old Testament people, they waited 400 years for him to appear. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear or to testify of the light, that all through him might believe. John came as a witness of the light. If you study the Christmas story and the account, what did it say? When the angel appeared, there was light. It was not that star that the wise men followed, but the glory shone round about. Why? Because it was God. Basic truth in verses 6 to 8 is John was bearing witness. And John says, "I am not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." Verse 9 said, "That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." Still not doing it today. His own people. You know what? I'd be willing to bet if Christ was to walk in human form, in most churches in this country today, walk through their back door and come in and sit down, he would not be recognized. He would not be received either. We talked in Sunday school this morning about the need to show Christ's love to people that come into our midst. What if Christ was to walk in here right now? Would we even recognize who he was? We'd recognize he was a guest, that this was his first time here in human form. But would we really recognize who he is? Verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." His omnipotence. That power that he has to save us for all eternity if we just receive that free gift. Can you imagine? And I love Christmas. I started to bring my nativities in, but, and I probably will before the month's over. But can you imagine the shepherds, actually there's only one here, but coming to the manger scene and seeing the Messiah? Can you imagine? Can you even, in your wildest dreams, imagine what it would have been like that night to have been in the presence of God? in the form of a baby. I get goosebumps. I do. I really do. Because when you think of that, you have to just see how great that was. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. You know, we put a star up over the manger. It was the glory of the Lord that shined forth. You don't see a star over the manger. It's not there.
Tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.
That angel or angels, but angel spoke to them and said, today the Messiah is born. Can you imagine? I mean, how many of you have ever played the shepherd in the Christmas program, from being little or being big? Most of us have. I was one of the wise guys and sorry skies. I was one of the wise guys as a young adult. Can't imagine that, what it would have been like to have been there that day and to have actually been visit the Messiah.
Verse 14 of John chapter 1 says, and the Word became flesh.
He became flesh on that night in that manger.
And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
What a glorious picture that is. This is the glorious Christ, the glorified Christ. The Word became flesh. That's what happened in that manger that night. He took on flesh and blood that night
for you and for me.
And he dwelt among us. It says his own didn't receive him, but he dwelt among them. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Full of grace and truth. Aren't you glad that God is a God of grace? Aren't you glad? Or are you glad that you've received amazing grace? Because it was through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross that we can have our sins taken care of. I can't do it. I have to talk to the Chinese pastor. There's one of their members that every time he sees me, he goes, Father, you know what? That offends me. One, I'm not his father. And I am not to be revered as a father. But it's a language thing. He doesn't understand what he's saying. The only one, you know, I get a letter about once every 2 or 3 months from someone and they put reverend on it. This person knows me and he still puts reverend on it. You know what? That's not me. The only person who is to be revered is God Himself. It's an old title, and older people like to use that title, but that title is reserved for God. In all of His glory. And John gave this testimony so that everyone would know that all people need to be saved. I heard an interesting question the other night. And you can't answer because you were there. How many of us, if you were here that Thursday night, how many of you are missionaries? All right, let's try this again. How many of you are missionaries? Y'all are just not sure, are you? If you're a child of God, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then you are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with non-believers. Thus, you are a missionary. And if you want to take your picture and put it up on the board, that would be great. But go out and tell somebody about what Jesus Christ did for you. This time of the year, Stan, you got your little thing on, right?
Yeah.
I can't see it from back there. It says, it's okay. Wish me a Merry Christmas. This time of the year, we have such an opportunity because most people are not going to be offended if you wish them a Merry Christmas. Or if somebody wishes you a Merry Christmas, say, do you know the Christ of Christmas? What a door it opens up. They wish you a Merry Christmas. You can tell them about Christ. Don't address your Christmas cards Xmas. Keep Christ in Christmas. It's what it's about. Not about all the trees. The trees are great. Obviously I love the trees. But it's about Christ and what Christ came to do. He left His home. The eternal, the omnipotent God left His home to come down here knowing He was going to go to the cross for you and for me. Somebody said they're going to try and do their tree with no bulbs this year, just light. Why do we have so many lights on the tree? It's a reminder that Christ is the light. Plus, they came that way, but I would have more lights on them if I could. Christ is the light. One of the neighbors actually commented how nice it looks to have that tree in the foyer lit at night. You know, you can see it from your house, can't you? If that tree at night is turned on, you can see it at his house coming down the road. You can see it farther than his house. You know what? The neighbors have noticed. We need to tell the neighbors about why we have the lights on the tree. That we are celebrating Christ's birth. I hope that's what you're doing this time of the year. I know for young people it's like, well, I've got to get my Christmas list out. This is, Mom, Dad, this is what I want for Christmas. No. This should be a time when we're telling people about what Christ did for us. Not about what goes under the tree. Presents are nice, but
It's not the greatest gift that you can give someone this Christmas season is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The greatest gift. We send out 300 or 400 Christmas cards to friends and family, and most of my family, over half of my family, do not know Christ as their Savior. So guess what goes in our Christmas letter every year? The message of the meaning of Christmas. Are you going to tell somebody about what Christ did for you this year? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the truth from your word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to celebrate this season. But Father, your word tells us that the light shines, and we know that. We know that your Son came to bear that light. He was the light for us. Father, I pray that during this Christmas season that you will help each one of us to be able to share the truth about the true meaning of Christmas with someone that we come in contact with. Father, that we'll be bold, that when someone wishes us a Merry Christmas, that we share with them the true meaning of Christmas. And Father, I just thank you that you gave us your word, gave us the truth in your word that we might be able to see. And Father, I pray that if there's someone in this room today that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today might be their day of salvation. And Father, now as we go out of these doors into our mission field, each one of us, I pray that you will put people in our path that need to hear the truth. And I pray this in your name. Amen.